was 3 years ago, October, which is like right when I started doing like that was right after like a thousand, starting making, a decent amount of money, especially for a college kid. And so I had like I probably had at the peak like 200 pairs of shoes in a room and then some in the common room. And all of my space was covered by shoes besides the bed, like everything. It was kind of epic and like disgusting at the same time.
You're listening to the Next Generation Podcast, weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there. Hey, so before getting into the episode, Gio and I are doing something a little bit different today where we actually partnered with our first ever sponsorship of the Next Generation. And the reason we're doing this is kind of twofold. One, because from our standpoint, we want to be able to go and make these episodes as high quality as possible for you guys. That way, you guys enjoy listening to them more and we can go and continue to bring on bigger name guests. And the second reason is we wanted to find companies that we thought people that are in our age demographic and listening to this show would actually really enjoy using and learning more about. And that kind of led us down the rabbit hole of meeting Cameron from Praxis. And for anyone who's listening right now that wants to know a little bit more about what Praxis is, it's actually a one-year apprenticeship program that combines a professional boot camp with a full-time paid job at a startup. So we've talked a lot about colleges and if you should be working at a job right now and how to quit and all that kind of stuff. If that's up your alley and you feel like you're just kind of going down a dead-end road right now and you want to figure out something else and you want to learn a new skill, there's never been a better time to do that, and there's never been an easier way to do that than with Praxis. So far, they've had over 450 people graduate from their program, and after a six-month apprenticeship where they go and teach you skills like sales, marketing, account management, things like that, they'll actually go and place you into a job at a startup where you can go and do that for 6 months full-time. And it's paid. So it's actually a really cool opportunity for entrepreneurial people looking for a more direct route to starting a career than college. And if you want to go and learn more, you can actually go and register for a program workshop over at workshop.discoverpraxis.com/thenextgeneration. And I know that's a bit of a mouthful, so I'm going to link it down in the show notes below. So let's kick things off. I'm super happy to have another like Amazon-esque seller. I think we've had Davis Clute on around like episode 4 or 5. But really, like, this is the first time since starting the podcast that, like, we just discussed some of the trials and tribulations that go on with being an Amazon seller. And so I'm happy to have Miles on the podcast. Miles, how you doing, man?
Oh, yeah, I'm great. Yeah, thankful to be on. Glad to, we can chop some stuff up about the different Amazon business models that we've both done in the past. And it'll be a good time, definitely.
Hell yeah, man. Let's get things going with, we want to give people kind of just a background on like who you are and what you do. Like, I know you got a big Twitter following and you're growing and building out some personal brand content, but like talk to people about like what it is that you do on a daily basis for money these days.
Yeah. So, my name's Miles. I go by Coolster Miles online. Just turned 23 2 weeks ago. I finished college early to do reselling full time. So buying and selling other people's name brand products that already have built-in demand. Right now I'm mainly doing that through Amazon, and then I work very hard to not only grow my own product-based business through Amazon as big as possible, but also scaling the content side of things and working to kind of build out the Fulcher Miles brand as well, which has allowed me to make a lot of good friends and meet a bunch of good guys like the two people I'm talking to right now. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity to do that as well. But just selling name brand products, think Nike, think Hasbro, all the name brand products you use, I flip those, on Amazon's platform and make, 20%, 30%, 40% ROI.
What's the background story there? How did you get into this and even realize this is a valid business model?
Interesting story that takes me back to high school. So I had always kind of sold some stuff here and there. I was selling some like Legos and stuff on eBay and such. But in freshman year of high school, which is, 7 years at this point, a long while ago, my senior on my lacrosse team walked by one day. For whatever reason, I looked down at the man's shoes. I'm a basketball player, so I was decently in tune with what shoes were cool and whatnot. They were the Gamma 11s, which were one of the hottest shoes at the time. Told him I liked them. For whatever reason, he said, I like them, but I don't like how they look on me. I'm selling them. Guess whatever little entrepreneurial curiosity I had at the time, I asked him how much for them. He said $160. I had a good idea that they were more than that, so I did what I could the next few days, sold some Legos here and there on eBay and got that money, and then bought those shoes, flipped them for $220, made $60, which was a lot at the time for me, definitely as a 15-year-old kid, and kind of just kept going from there. The next few years, did it off and on during school, maybe a few pairs a month. And didn't really get anywhere in terms of large scale. I just liked doing it because I liked having nice shoes here and there. And then freshman year of college, kind of getting into school, my mom asked me, when are you going to get rid of all the shoes? And I was like, no, mom, I'm going to keep doing it at college. And luckily, I had cool roommates that were cool with that. And having a lot of shoes, there's some like funny pictures I post on Twitter of what my room looked like. Getting into summer 2018, first $1,000 profit month, kind of started kicking things up a little bit more. Started doing like a few thousand a month and just kept it going from there. Eventually started posting on social media because a lot of my shoe friends were as well. So I kind of just started posting some stuff here and there, and people were talking about selling on Amazon. I was like, I didn't know you could sell on Amazon. And so I started doing that fairly unsuccessfully for the first year, but you know, kept going in some different things and kept doing like the more hype shoe side of things. And then really started going hard on Amazon this year. And last month did my first 100K revenue month, which I'm super excited about. Obviously very low profit margins compared to, you know, some people's 100K revenue a month, but very excited about that and like talking about it on my YouTube and Twitter and all that. So grateful for the opportunity to definitely a lot of good stuff going on.
Congrats on the 100K month. I'm curious on how the business model actually changed from when you were doing it in high school to where it is now, right? In high school, was that like peer-to-peer? Were you just posting on Craigslist? Were you just posting on Facebook and, you know, driving around selling the shoes?
Yeah.
Or what did that actually look like then?
Yeah, like some Facebook groups that were national, that were like more national stuff, and then some like in my town. Like I'd like kind of walk away from my house and like try to do it when my parents weren't home and stuff. I'm sure it looks super, super sketchy, but yeah. And then gradually, so that was all peer-to-peer. I had to, you know, comment on the Facebook post a few days to bring it up in the groups, you know, a few times a day. And then in, I think, 2017, the apps called StockX, which is a really popular one, and Goat came out. The big thing with those is, one, there's built-in demand, and two, they're anonymous. You can just list something, and when it sells, it sells. So you can scale that a lot easier because you don't have to talk to everyone. You don't have to chase people around for PayPal invoices. It's just completely through the StockX platform. And they authenticate every transaction themselves. So you don't even know the buyer's name, and it's completely scam proof. So that allowed you to scale a lot easier because you didn't have to worry about just the traffic of whatever 5,000 members were in a Facebook group. And then that allowed me to, you know, do a few thousand profit a month here and there. And then the social media side of things, you know, people started talking about Amazon and such. And I was like, I didn't know anything about that. I just had done shoes for a few years here and there. And then just gradually started doing the Amazon stuff, made a bunch of friends that are a lot smarter than me on the Amazon side of things. So that helped a lot and kind of just kept running with it there.
And what was the point when you decided you want to kind of like legitimize your business more? Like, I mean, I'm all for running a business out of a dorm room and, you know, taking it from selling 100 shoes a month or something like that to now selling thousands of products a month like you are on Amazon today. But what was that one moment where you started to say, hey, you know what, I actually got to go and like move up in the world and
yeah,
start doing
it
a little bit differently?
When I like literally like I would just like pretty much I was conveniently like my college was near a couple of Nike or one Nike outlet and two Adidas outlets. And they were fairly rural, like central Pennsylvania. So there was a lot of opportunity there, and it was pretty eye-opening, like, the first time seeing, like, a $5,000 profit month. Like, I thought that was pretty cool, and, like, my, like, parents thought that was pretty cool, too. And then that was when I started kind of, you know, reading the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books and, you know, realizing, like, people kind of do some of this stuff full-time and everything, and I was like, all right, like, let me, you know, do some extra classes and stuff. Maybe I can skip out of school early and just kind of kept tinkering around with stuff. Last year, I failed at a bunch of business models, but reselling kind of kept going the whole way, and then this year is the first time really scaled out reselling to like what it is today.
Were you actually just going to the outlets, buying the shoes, and then relisting them on StockX?
Absolutely. Yep. Sometimes they would have bids waiting. Occasionally they would have bids waiting where I could like profit on it in the store. Yeah. So I
you knew instantly how much you were gonna make, and so at that point then it's just about how many units that the outlet actually had.
Yeah, because not everything was an instant sale, but I was pretty decent at reading the markets, and they like had inventory limits on like how many you could buy and stuff. Conveniently, I had a really, really good friend from high school that went to the college that was in the town of the Adidas outlet, and so I would pick him up. It was crazy. Like once a week, I would drive down. It was right near it. I would pick him up. We'd go there, and we'd, you know, finesse around here and there, buy stuff, and he was really cool, too. I'm so cool for today, but that was like really helpful too. It's like kind of a fun thing to do together.
That's hilarious and also awesome to know. Like, and at one point too, I think when we were chatting last week, you, I don't know, did you get kicked out of your dorm or like they came into your dorm and like, not raided it, but like basically said like, get these shoes out of here or something, yeah, right? So
this was 3 years ago, October, which is like right when I started doing like, that was right after like 1,000, you know, starting making, you know, a decent amount of money, especially for a college kid. And so I had, like, I probably had at the peak, like 200 pairs of shoes in a room and then some in the common room. Maybe more like 150, but a lot. Like, I had, all of my space was covered by shoes besides the bed. Like, everything. It was kind of epic and, like, disgusting at the same time. And so the fire alarm went off one day because the kid was vaping. And so they checked every room for some reason. I don't really know why they checked every room. And I get an email the next day, right? Like, why do you have so many shoes? You know, I'm an honest guy. I tell them, and they're like, oh, yeah, you can't do that. And I was like, oh, well. Conveniently, they didn't really check again for, like, or they didn't really check again ever. But, like, my parents were like, yeah, like, it's time to get a storage unit. So I just did that the next year. And then right after that, so that was 3 years ago. And so I did the storage unit thing in school for, like, a year. And then COVID hit, and then I had to, that was like my last day of in-person school ever. And so I had to, like, you know, everything else has been home-based.
Is it still possible to go and kind of do that model with going to the outlet and buying the shoes? Or is that pretty much priced out at this point?
For StockX stuff, it's really, really saturated because the StockX model is so good that people are cool with $2 profit on a pair. Which when you're doing 1,000 pairs is a lot, but like I don't have or space. So nice thing for Amazon, it's amazing. Yeah, because you think outlet shoes are just, you know, the basic Nikes, you know, we all wear. And that's what's good for Amazon because everyone shops on Amazon. The people who know about StockX are mostly, you know, younger guys around our age. They're more interested in the Yeezys and the Jordans of stuff. And that's not as – or the basic shoes aren't as good on StockX and stuff like that. But the basic shoes are amazing on Amazon. So, yeah, I have like a couple – I think I have one vlog on my YouTube of me going to Nike outlets, and it's obviously, you know, you can't scale your time driving around to stores, but for the people doing a lower scale one, it's like really fun to do. I got to make a cool video of it, but yeah, it's very profitable still for Amazon stuff because there's a distinct competitive advantage to getting Nike unlocked on Amazon that a lot of people don't know how to do.
Interesting. I'm just like, first of all, kudos to you for being as honest as you are. I feel like if my school emailed me, it was like, hey, like, why do you have 200 pairs of shoes? It's like, I'm stylish as fuck. Like, get out of my dorm room.
It's all the same pair. And they're like,
yeah, well, that's fair. It's like, hey, listen, like, they were having a sale. Like, I just had to.
They were cool about it, too. They were just like, yeah. And then, I mean, I honestly think I could have made it the whole time because they didn't really say anything after, like, the first, like, meeting or whatever. Like, they told me you'll get another email. I just never did. But, I mean, the storage unit was cool. It was good. Like, it was kind of good branding. Like, I got to, that's a good story to tell, too. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely time, though, to move out.
And curious, too, now, because, like, I've seen you tweet, like, I think when people think about flipping, right, they think of, like, that high-end, really cool shit, like the Gamma 11s or, like, being able to sell, like, you know, vintage designer stuff where you get a good deal on it. And then, like, you flip it to someone who just wants to, like, hang them on their wall or whatever. But, like, you made more money off of Crocs than Yeezys, didn't you?
Yeah, that's a good tweet because people are like surprised by that. And now Crocs actually cease and desist people. So anyone out there selling on Amazon, don't try and sell Crocs. But for a time, they were pretty profitable. And then Marshalls raised the prices too. They caught on to us. Yeah, they cut out the margin. But yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised how much people pay for some Crocs on alternative markets just because they trust Amazon. And I'm sure that makes sense why, you know, you guys were able to build up such a cool brand on Amazon because people trust the Amazon, you know, they know they're going to have a good customer experience and all that. So, and the built-in traffic's amazing. So it's really a good place to be.
I don't know how we never got in trouble with the school. At one point we had our entire dorm room was boxes, just cardboard boxes. Yeah,
fire alarms.
We somehow finessed the point where, like, when you know when you're moving in and out of the dorms, they give you like these massive bins, whatever, on move in and move out day. We like somehow just had a connection at one point to like just the postal service at the school mail, and we're just like, hey, like, we got a shipment coming in. Can you get us like two or three of those massive boxes?
They were cool with me. Yeah, I was always cool with the postal worker. It was literally just like the RA staff kind of didn't mess with me just because of that one like incident.
Just because the one kid was just vaping and just couldn't help himself.
Yeah, the kid down the hall.
I want to kind of clarify. So the previous kind of model you started with was a lot of either peer-to-peer selling, or you go to the outlet or you go to the actual retail store and then you list online. How does that compare to what you're kind of doing nowadays?
Yeah, so that's more the retail arbitrage model, as it's traditionally called within the resale community. Now I do almost exclusively online arbitrage, where now that I have, you know, some decent credit lines and I'm pretty good reading the market on stuff, I could spend a lot more because I don't have to scale the time of driving to different places, which honestly sucked. Like, it was a decent period of my life, but like, I wouldn't want to drive all over the place now. So it's like, amazing just to be able to order stuff online.
Like, breaking that down, like, detail by detail, is this literally, and you mentioned Nike, so I'm just going to use that as an example here.
Yeah.
Is this literally going to like NikeOutlets.com or even Nike.com, saying like Nike.com?
Yep. And then, I buy stuff from them frequently, yeah.
And you're like, hey, this yellow shirt is fantastic.
Yep.
500 of those. They're selling for $11.99.
Definitely not that many at one time. But if they kept moving, I'd replenish them. But yeah, like, it's literally like, if say a shirt's $15 and it's moving for, you know, $32, there's probably $4, $5, $6 in profit. That's a 30% ROI like that. Like, kind of a no-brainer.
And what do the actual operations look like? Is it you just on your computer going back and forth? You have like a team of VAs? Are there a bunch of bots?
So my partner and I, for our community base, we have a bunch of VAs that source stuff like kind of full time, and then we sell the leads they find. I don't source any of those, but I do most of my own just because I'm like pretty like in terms of like lead flow of what I know I would buy if I had more money. I'm like totally overwhelmed. So I don't really have to spend too much time buying. And that's a great problem to have. At one point, it was not the case. But because I've been, you know, kind of grinding on social media over the years, I've been able to make a whole bunch of friends. And, you know, they'll tip me off and, like, buy some of this. You know, I'll tip them off, like, buy. Like, tonight, later tonight, I'm getting on Zoom with some friends who all do, like, multiples what I do a month. So, you know, amazing. Like, I'm very happy for them. And we'll like go through and pick out stuff, look at sales graphs and kind of find some stuff to get. Because I'd much rather have my friends win than the random competitors in Kentucky that I'm competing with on other stuff.
You mentioned credit lines and kind of maybe budget constraints. So is that your current bottleneck? Is it capital going in? And are you just opening up tons and tons of credit cards?
American Express is like really good with credit lines and stuff. But yeah, we all have a certain amount of risk tolerance we have, and I'm pretty capped out on that. So if Amazon offers me a loan, that would be amazing. But they just haven't for whatever reason yet.
Yeah, I got to imagine too, like, because worst case scenario, you just don't want to be stuck with like, you know, 75 of the same pairs of shoes.
Well, the nice thing is when you're buying from retail stores and not, you know, factories in China or wholesale distributors, you know, worst comes to worst. That's the thing. That's why it's very nice to no risk. Yeah.
So I have an idea as we were talking that must already exist. So if it does, I just want you to like say the name. If not, somebody should totally build this. Is there just like a Chrome extension? Essentially, if I'm on Nike.com, see a yellow t-shirt that can somehow literally find that exact same product on Amazon and tell me what the difference is?
Yeah, there's a software called Tactical Arbitrage that does that, which was so, so helpful at the start. I don't really use it. I don't use it today just because, like I said, I just don't have enough money to buy all the stuff I already know I want to buy.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it was amazing at the start. It was like my boys that I'll source with tonight, like back in March, we all kind of started doing Amazon, like a little nucleus together, some of the same guys. And we would just grind on searching tactical arbitrage, like, because we were all full time because we had, you know, everyone kind of had online business. So we had time to, you know, really learn stuff. And that was pretty helpful.
And you're really focusing on a couple products, right? Rather than just, you know, 1,000 different products and you're selling whatever works, you kind of know your specific niche on what you're looking for.
Yeah, so right now that could change any second if like some people undercut. But for now, I mean, you know, I kind of have a nice little niche of like shoes and apparel, and it really isn't too many ASINs, but that could absolutely change. I mean, you know, if someone could find mine and undercut, and like, I'm definitely open to expanding in the future. But for now, I like, keep it fairly narrow on like 50 to 60 listings.
Dude, how much were you selling back in March?
So March literally was when I unlocked Nike on Amazon. I think I did like 30K that month. And there was like some other like non-Amazon stuff, because like the personal brand is very helpful to have too. Probably like 30K in revenue or something. And then just kind of gradually built it up, and then really was dreaming of an 100K month, and then just kind of just muscled up and did it last month, which was really
well
awesome.
Also time out, like you're saying, like gradually moved up, like you went from 30k months to 100k months in 6 months.
I know, that's the problem, that's the problem with online businesses, everyone wants to move so quick. I mean, myself included, definitely. It's just kind of like the toxicity of social media. But yeah, I mean, in any like non-internet based business, that would be like really awesome growth. Like I can see it, like keep going up, definitely.
And that is very good. And well, and out of the 100k too, you're making like let's just talk bottom line for a second, right? Because you know you're buying them, you're flipping
around,
them.
Around 15% right now, because I'm not buying too many new things.
But I mean, even think about that just from like a number standpoint. Like you say, you scale that out 12 months. You're 20. You just turned 23. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like you just turned 23 years old, and like you're making like quick maths, $180,000 a year. Whatever bottom line.
Amazon too, because like a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of resellers and just people in general, like focus way too much on their main business when there's so much opportunity to scale, network, grow, expand via social media, building up your presence on there. Because, you know, Amazon could shut down an account at any second. Obviously, Instagram could do the same thing, but it's a lot, you're a lot more likely to screw something up on Amazon than you are on Instagram. You can scale a personal brand a million times easier because it's not dependent on space. It's not dependent on capital. It's not dependent on, you know, manpower. It's literally just, will you put out enough good content? And I'm really built, like, bought into doing that the next several years as well. And I think that'll be helpful.
In terms of looking at the actual, you know, downsides and negatives and some of the risks associated with it, have you, I don't know, has anyone scammed you? Have you lost money? Or what are some of the things that, like, people might not realize right away that they need to either pay attention to or you know, worry about if they're...
Yeah, that's important, definitely. Yeah, so returns, because I sell a lot of shoes, there are higher return rates. If you monitor well, that doesn't end up being a big deal, but occasionally some jerk will, like, wear the shoes, and then, you know, you gotta charge them a big restocking fee, and that's just a pain, because, I mean, what do you do with the used pair of shoes? But that's right. Really hasn't... I mean, I've done thousands and thousands of items this year, and that's really only happened a fraction of times. And, like, I don't know, there's probably some way to, like, write it off or something. I have no idea. But, yeah, that, you gotta be good on account metrics, and then, you know, it is rented real estate. Like Amazon gives us amazing opportunity to sell through their platform, but at the end of the day, they are the boss. You know, they get to choose what goes on. And that's why I'm so big on diversifying out of not just the product-based business, but also the content side of it.
Yeah, I was going to say that definitely always kept me up at night, just selling on Amazon. Like just knowing that, like, at the end of the day, Daddy Bezos can go and pull the plug anytime he wants.
Yeah. Gotta do the right things. But yeah, it is really, really awesome to be able to do it. But you're absolutely right that there, you know, you gotta be diversifying as well. That's why, like, I literally, like, tell all my friends know me, like, my catchphrase is like, make more content. Like, literally, like, just for this exact reason that stuff can go wrong quick. And that's why, like, so many kids, I mean, oh my God, they have like their first 10K month and they're tweeting like 9-to-5s are terrible. I can't, but like, dude, that stuff can go wrong so quick. Like, you gotta diversify, you gotta save money. Like, I'm big on it.
You gotta get like that 85 cent like interest payment from Robinhood and just tweet it out. It's like, I don't know how y'all do that 9-to-5 shit.
Yeah, so, dude, I made like $2.67 on YouTube the other day. I like tweeted that out, like, dudes are messing with that.
I love it. Maybe it's a good time to kind of transition into some of these other avenues you're making money on. Any that specifically stick out or that
in general? Yeah. So I'm just huge on, you know, aggregating as much attention as possible, whether that be Twitter, whether that be Instagram, whether that be YouTube, which I started the past few months, which has been really, really fun. And then building out a private community on Discord, which is completely free, that will kind of eventually monetize in terms of coaching programs, in terms of courses and everything. But just up front, you know, providing the best experience possible that someone can go in brand new. They can join our community. They can get their questions answered completely for free. If they want to give us money, great. If not, I mean, we get to meet a bunch of Amazon sellers and maybe some of them will eventually help us. And that's a project I started with a friend 2 months ago. And right actually before we got on this call, we passed 6,500 members, which is really cool. Hopefully get that to 20,000 members by the end of the year, which will obviously, you know, got a lot of work to do to get that to that. But that's going to be a big, big thing the next few years because, I mean, there's like some big Facebook groups that a lot of entrepreneurs have that they use as like a funnel into the different things they have going on. And so that'll be ours via the Discord there, which is called the Amazon Launchpad, which I'm really excited about. And then just kind of aggregating attention on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube as much as possible. Using that selfishly to, you know, meet people and make some money here and there via some different offerings that I'll have coming out the next year. And then unselfishly, you know, help some people get started and stuff. Because there's tons and tons of opportunities. We both know not enough people taking advantage of it, and I sleep better at night knowing, you know, I get a couple messages a day saying like, thank you for helping me out with this.
I'm curious in terms of the Discord group, why Discord rather than kind of Facebook groups and stuff?
Yeah, definitely a decision. I just think Discord's a little more contemporary, to be honest, and it's organized a little better that you can have different sections for different questions and stuff, and it's not just one wall. But that's definitely years ago. Definitely.
Where do those members come from? Are they funneling in from your Twitter bio, I guess, or are you running ads anywhere, or how do they find the group?
The nice thing about having spent, you know, a year or two working hard to, you know, post content is I had a little bit of a built-in audience. So a lot from Twitter, Instagram as well is where I'm most right now, and then some YouTube as well, though a lot of the YouTube's new to me, so I think it's mostly my audience from other platforms. And then I have a fantastic partner who co-owns it with me, who hopefully today is going to hit 10K subscribers on YouTube. He's only been posting for a year or two. He posts really, really good videos, so that gets us a lot of traffic as well. And then he has a bunch of followers on TikTok too, which has been really helpful. So yeah, just kind of fairly equally distributed between our audiences. And he's very technical with like the back end of Amazon stuff. He has some good knowledge there. And then I'm kind of more like in terms of like doing, like really just going hard with like the product base, like scaling the product base as far as possible in terms of that. So we complement each other really nicely and be able to make a ton of money together.
I like what you're doing though, man, because I think the one person that I definitely look up to that I think, not even think, he does is the best in the entire game is Gary Vaynerchuk.
I'm the most, like, I'm his biggest fan. I'm one of his biggest
fans. And so exactly what you're kind of talking about here, right? Like, you have a guy who, what he does is he creates content, but more importantly, he has started and sold a wine business that I think he sold it for like nine figures, right?
And then there's been two wine, like I know a lot about this dude. I think there were two wine businesses he exited, but yeah, he's always in my ear. Like literally, like I can tell a good story here. Like I was watching a video of his in March, maybe February, and he was like, you better respond to every comment. I was like, you know, Gary, I'm going to message everyone that comments, not just respond to them. And that one DM is now kid who I hang out with a lot. He was in this that little nucleus we kind of started together, and I mean, he's doing over 100K a month too, and he was very, very helpful in getting started with me. And I've podcast with him; we talk every day. So yeah, I mean, literally, there's tons of stuff like that happens.
And yeah, because I was gonna say, because from his standpoint, right, he had the wine business. He's got what was that reservation business?
Oh yeah, that's the other one. Yeah.
He just exited out of that. He's invested in like Uber, Snapchat, like a bunch of the big guys, because he has all this content. They want him in it because they know that he's got distribution in all of his channels. The fact of the matter is, the dude just started, and he also runs one of the biggest agencies in the world out there for social media. And he just started his own NFT platform that has quickly spiraled into becoming like the biggest or one of the biggest NFT projects out there.
Top 10, yeah, like $100 million.
Right, and he's doing it all kind of like what you were talking about, where what he does is he really just creates the process, and he shares all of that content online, right? I think you have a lot of people out there who like are running a business today, like they're afraid to share the numbers, they're afraid to share what's working. Like,
competition, man. You know how many people told me like, don't talk about your business? One, my business wasn't even making a lot. It's, you know, for some people, it's not making a lot today, but it's, I mean, just the meeting, like the friends, man. You know,
right.
Like the average person walking down the street has no idea about online business. Most people have no idea about online business, so it's so hard to talk to people about stuff. Thank God for social media, man. It'd be so boring if there weren't like people like you guys that know, you know, e-com and stuff to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, man. I completely agree. But like, I think the biggest takeaway that I have from it is because, I mean, like, we're very similar. We like starting businesses. It's what we do for fun. It's like almost a hobby at this point. But I think something that a lot of people can also take away from it is that even if you don't have a business today, but you know that you want to go and start one eventually, get active on social media. And it doesn't, like the biggest mistake that I think a lot of people make is they're like, well, what am I going to talk about? I don't have a business right now, right? Okay, but you're still a human being and you have opinions on things. Exactly. So what I would do is I'd follow all of, if you want to get into Amazon, go follow Miles on Twitter right now. And every time he says anything about Amazon, reply with something that's like mildly helpful. Like even to the ninth degree of helpfulness. And go and try to give some feedback. And over time, you'll start, you know, building this audience of people who want to go and hear what you have to say. And eventually, just from doing that, you'll get more connections. And eventually, you'll start a business and you'll have a bunch of people who, if not buy from you, like support you and give you advice.
it just gives you options too. Attention just gives you options. I'll probably tweet that after this. That's kind of
nice. Yeah.
But
yeah,
literally, I mean, because my business right now is so different than 2 years ago when I started. And last year I tried a bunch of stuff and failed at it. But like, still, like, you know, just having people there, you know, to help you with stuff too, like to answer questions. It's very, very helpful. And like, everyone these days watches people creating on social media, but not everyone creates themselves. And the people who do create, like, stuff, good stuff comes to them.
And I think for me, one of the things that set me back for a while, at least specifically on Twitter, was I just didn't want to start tweeting with like 50 followers. I was like, there's no real point to this. Like, it's not, I don't know, not worth my time. Have a little bit more, like a couple more followers now, but nothing compared to what you guys have, but already had phenomenal conversations with people. I have like phone calls every week now on random topics with really interesting people that are doing far more impressive stuff than all of us, right? And it, like, I don't know, I think that was at least for me, so I'm assuming other people might see that as a barrier. Like, you don't need 10, 20, 30,000 followers to actually have some sort of impact on your network and the people you meet.
Oh yeah, and like, I think, and you know, we can get into whether this was another video, but like, it's so smart, like starting a podcast, you know, you get to, because it's so much easier, like the way I've, you know, I interview people on my channel and stuff, and you kind of get free consulting, you know, you get to learn a lot of stuff, and because you have the platform, you own the distribution, the platform, everything, people will love because it helps grow their brand and stuff. You know, I said yes in a heartbeat. We had never really spoken before because I know, you know, maybe some of your followers will come to me or vice versa, and, you know, we'll get to cross-pollinate there. But yeah, I mean, literally, like, just the internet's so powerful, and, you know, I'm sure I underestimate it too, but I really want to take full advantage because, you know, maybe it will get harder, but, like, I mean, it's never, you know, now's the perfect time to start with Galvin already.
Yeah, I think, I mean, first of all, the motivation behind this is honestly just that it's better to ask somebody that you want to have a conversation with to come on your podcast than it is to say, you want to just jump on a call and let me pick your brain. Like, let's be honest, they're the same exact thing. The difference is one's recorded.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier that reminded me of a quote I really like. You were just saying how, like, you've started and failed at a bunch of different businesses and projects over the past, like, year or two. And I really feel like one of my favorite quotes that I really believe on is, like, if you want to start a good business, start a lot of businesses. What's that?
You want to tweet that. That's a good
I'm sure someone already has at some point. But, I mean, either way, like, I think, like, it's so hard to know what the market wants. And I think so many people try to always, like, reinvent the wheel. They're like, hey, I'm going to invent this brand new product that's never existed before. What's up?
Like, people say, like, people, I tell people, like, start, you know, making content and stuff. And they're like, oh, I'll start when? Like, you're never going to start if you don't start today. You know what I mean? Like, and just taking stuff to market, too. You can validate ideas for free, you know, with $50 in Facebook ads, $50 in PPC. You can validate stuff. You know, you can just take stuff to the market instantly. Pay little or nothing and validate whether the idea is good or not. And even if that ends up not being the right idea for you, you can check that off the list and get to the next thing, which might be your big thing.
Right. I think every single person we've either talked to or interviewed, like, their most successful venture was never their first one. And their first one was never even remotely successful. Right. They've either had like 100 different ideas or tried a million different projects, and most of them never pan out. But you learn something on each single step. Right. You realize, OK, A, might be a good product. No one wants it, right? it's a good one to learn early on. And then there's a ton of stuff to just kind of learn in that iterative process. I'm curious on, is there a segment now that you're looking at in terms of, if someone's our age, wants to make some money right now, where can they start to maybe get in those first couple reps of business ideas, make a little bit of money on the side and start hustling?
Yeah, so kind of my default is always just like basic flipping, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it's naturally, if you're someone who likes song stuff, it'll be fun for you. But just at the core, it's like kind of the most simple, like some of the most simple ways to make money. Either that, like flipping, or I would start like a service-based business digitally, like whether it's Facebook ads. Like, I tried this last year, and so I learned how to run Facebook ads from YouTube, and within a week I had a $1,000 PayPal from doing a free trial, and I ended up selling the guy, and he was with me for like a few months. But yeah, either like basic flipping or like service-based businesses, like digitally service-based businesses, have been really, really popular the last kind of year on Twitter. And I think they're amazing too, because you can charge a lot, because people don't, like, especially people with money, don't want to spend time learning how to run Facebook ads, how to do email marketing and all this stuff, how to edit photos. And so if you learn even basic stuff for free from YouTube, you can potentially make some good coin helping people out like that. So yeah, either service based or like really basic program.
I feel like that's really good advice for people our age. But one counterpoint that I'd bring up to that is you can make a lot of money quickly, as like you're the prime example of that. Yeah. But you can't sell that business. So like you don't really have an asset where you're like yeah. If you have an agency, I think agencies tend to go and sell for like a 1x multiple.
Yeah.
And flipping, you don't. Maybe you can sell your listings. I don't know.
I mean, there's no IP there, and that's why I'm kind of aggregating the attention to maybe, you know, start a software company or like maybe sell the group or something. But either way, I mean, the cash flow will make me a multimillionaire before 35, definitely. Like you know, and I'm not a Lambo, I'm not a mansion guy, so I'll be pretty good with that invested the right way.
Humble.
But yeah,
humble.
I that is a very, very good problem, or like a very good point that there's no equity there, and you're absolutely right. And that's why I'm kind of trying to build social equity through content stuff, because that's my individual thing that brand no one can, you know, copy that and stuff.
But so then what's your goal with Amazon, right? Because I'm curious, like at the end of the day, the reason that there's not a lot of equity associated with it is because you're in a business model right now that you can actually probably outsource probably a decent amount. But at the end of the day, you're still pretty much trading a lot of time for money. Whereas like, you can build something else like your Discord, for example, right? Say tomorrow you flip a switch and you start charging people and you go on vacation for the next 6 months, you're coming back and you're still having some people pay.
Yeah, we have six full-time VAs for that, yeah.
Right, so there's a little bit of a difference of like the time versus money thing. So yeah. I'm really curious now from your standpoint, like, do you think if you're, let's just do some rough math right now, you're making $100,000 a month, you're going to make over $1 million in the next trailing 12 months.
Obviously that's, you know, only like
15. Revenue. Top
I always, I try to have a moral, moral obligation to state that, yeah, only a small portion of it's profit, but yeah.
Totally fair. Yeah. It's, and sometimes revenue can be a vanity metric, but the fact is like you're 23 and you're making over $1 million top line and you're making six figures bottom line at least. Right. So I'm curious from your standpoint, is this something that you're like, hey, I'm going to take this to $10 million and bank $1 million in profit every single year?
You know, yeah. I really like, I don't know if I want that stress in my life, to be honest. Like, I really like the lifestyle like I have. And obviously some people hear that it's like, oh, you're not ambitious. I'm like, I don't need a Lambo. I don't need a mansion. Like, you give me a few, you know, you give me a little bit of money, I'll get it invested. I might be all right. But yeah, I mean, so I definitely multi six figures in profit next year. If I don't do that, something went wrong, and it'll be completely my fault. But yeah, definitely that. And I like save a lot of money too. Like, I have a decent size like brokerage account. I'm pretty like passionate about making sure I'm putting money aside and everything. And that ends up being my equity that I don't have for my main business.
So would you say you're spending most of your time then trying to scale out the social, you know, aspect of your brand?
Probably, to be honest, because I know what I buy, at least right now, it's fairly replenishable. I kind of, or just based on the money I have, I kind of know where it's going. But yeah, just a lot of my time goes to creating content here and there. And then just pretty much, yeah, besides getting orders shipped, definitely.
Do you have like a specific goals written down for the next 10 years? I'm just curious, like, it's because it sounds like personal branding stuff is like that big overarching theme 10-year goal of eventually, like, you know, it's 2031 and like Miles is that guy who's like, you know, putting kids on the game of like, you know, learning how to go and start with entrepreneurship and all that kind of stuff. But like, it sounds like 1 year from now, the goal is multiple six figures. You know, 4 years from now, maybe it's a software product or something like that. Like, you ever write this kind of stuff down and think about that?
Honestly, not really. Definitely having like an M fairly liquid net worth by 30. But I think I'll definitely be able to do that, because the past few months, like as things have scaled, I've kind of really realized, like, you know, I can really do some good stuff here and there, but nothing too really set in stone. Just because, you know, I kind of like really like, you know, my lifestyle. Like, if I want to go to the park and shoot hoops, like, you know, I pretty much can whenever I want, as long as stuff gets shipped out. And I really try not to downplay that and think, like, if you gave me $2 million, I don't think I would ship orders every day, but my life really wouldn't change too much otherwise. Like, you know, because I like riding my bike. I like shooting hoops and everything. You don't really need too much money to do that. And so, yeah, I mean, just like, business is a lot of fun, and it would be so much less fun if I didn't have great friends to talk about it with and everything. But some of them have like really, really ambitious goals, and I totally like hope they hit it, to be honest. But I don't really have huge financial goals, being completely honest.
In terms of content, you're cranking out a lot of content. You enjoy following people, clearly, like Gary Vee, that also do a ton of content. What other areas are you kind of pulling information from? You listen to podcasts, read books?
Not as much videos. As I should. A lot of YouTube, though, yeah. Because that's kind of my focus creation-wise right now, is kind of getting YouTube stuff out. But, yeah, a lot of Twitter, too, because I'm really trying to grow my account as well there. But, yeah, not as much books as I should, but definitely some podcasts a lot. Like, honestly, not too many really business-related, just because right now my really, like, I try to really stay focused on the Amazon stuff. I kind of really know what I have to do. Obviously, there's always stuff to learn, but, like, if you gave me more money, I would spend it quick. And with reselling, that's kind of the only metric that really matters, to be honest.
Speaking of Twitter, fastest way to get to 10,000 followers?
Tweet a lot of pictures of yourself and have good friends to retweet it. Like, honestly, yeah, I mean, that's everything kind of based on your network and everything. And that, like, I back in April, I'll kind of really dig into it here. I had about 4,000 and I saw all these guys, but it's like, how they're doing. One, they're tweeting every day, which I wasn't doing at the time. And then I spent the next month and like really went ham. And went from probably the next 2 months, went from 4,000 to about 7,500, and then really took the next 2 months off because I was trying to get started on YouTube and stuff. And then last week, I kind of like dig into my Twitter analytics and picked out like the best tweets from like the past month and recycled them, because a lot of people haven't seen that content, you know, maybe some gains, new followers here and there. In the last week, I've kind of been really going hard with that. I gained like 2,000 followers in the last week, which has kind of really opened my eyes to what's possible. And like, 1,000 of those people signed up for my Discord, and that kind of switched around some member goals for our Discord too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really just kind of putting stuff out there as much as possible and having a good distribution network.
That's awesome, man. Last question, at least from my side, I don't know if Gio has anything else, but like, what do a lot of your friends from home and friends and like parents and family think of all this kind of stuff? Because I feel like one thing that I always struggle doing is just telling people like what I do for a living. Usually I just kind of default, like troll them. I'm just like, I'm a podcast host. Like, that's what
I mean, it's kind of impossible to. I normally like say, like, to break, like, if you were someone that just asked like what you do, I'd be like e-commerce. And if you asked like what, I'd say, so when someone buys something on Amazon, there's over a 50% chance that it comes from a third party seller. Like, I'm a third party seller. But it's really hard too.
Back when we had an Amazon account in business, my default response was just sell shit on Amazon. And like,
yeah, I mean, that's do you guys know the meme where it's like low IQ, mid IQ, high IQ?
Oh yeah.
So it's like, I posted this on Instagram. It's like Amazon sellers, like e-commerce, and it's like, I sell stuff to low IQ. It's like, I do e-commerce through Amazon FBA, whatever. And then it's like the high IQ is like, I sell stuff. So that's definitely cool.
Easiest default response, man.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it. No, I'm excited to kind of see some of the updates here as well. I think it's probably a good time to wrap stuff up here. Where can people follow you and out what you're doing, and Twitter, Discord, all that?
Yeah, thank you guys for having me, definitely. Kind of your favorite platform, whatever it is, YouTube, I post fairly daily on there. Instagram, Twitter, it's all Flips4Miles. If you want to join our community, that's a great resource as well. But I've kind of lots of content in all places, and I'd be happy to help you if you ever have any questions on anyone listening to this. But yeah, thanks to these guys for having me on, and it's been a pleasure. Yeah, definitely hope to get you guys on our podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll link to everything below, and thanks for coming on again.